Okay, Claudia, thank you. We're on? Good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us at the special meeting of the Madera City Council, a regular meeting of the City Council as the successor agency to the former Madera Redevelopment Agency, and a special meeting of the City Council as the successor housing agency. If we can have roll call, please.
Mayor Andrew Medellin.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Steve Montes.
Here.
Councilmember Cecilia Foley Gallegos. Absent. Councilmember Jose Rodriguez. Absent. Councilmember Derek Robinson Sr.
Present.
Councilmember Santos Garcia.
Here.
Councilmember Donald Hawley.
Present.
We're blessed to have Pastor Joyce Lane from Glory Amen. Of Zion Church, who will lead us in the invocation. If you'll stand with me, please.
Good evening, Mayor Andy and the City Council members and Madera community. We thank God, and our prayers coming out of Jeremiah 1, 17 and 18. We believe, Father, that you're calling Madera, the city of Madera, back unto yourself, and that means that you're expecting the community to become participants in what you're doing for the benefit and the growing and the blessing of the city. You spoke that we should get ourselves ready, stand up, and say to them, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today, I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the king of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. The problems we face, Father, may not seem as ominous as Jeremiah's, but they're critical to us and may overwhelm us. God promised to Jeremiah and to us today, 2019, that there's nothing will defeat us completely. He will help us through the most agonizing problems that we face today, with the assurance, glory to God, that God will be with you, with all of us, and he will see us through it. If we look at the climate of time, society was deteriorating in that particular era, and also today, economically, political, spiritually. Wars and captivity dominates the world scene. God's word, much of the time, is deemed offensive. But here's the message that God would desire that we all embrace and hold close to our heart. Repentance is one of the greatest needs in our immortal world. God's promises to the faithful shine brightly by bringing hope for tomorrow and strength for today. And with that, all of the people did say yes and amen to the will of God. Yes and amen to the will of God. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Pastor Joyce. If you'll join me in the pledge, please. Ready, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first 15 minutes of the meeting are reserved for members of the public to address the agency or council on items which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency or council. Speakers shall be limited to 3 minutes. Speakers will be asked to identify themselves and state the subject of their comment. If the subject is an item on the agenda, the mayor has the option of asking the speaker to hold that comment until the item is called. Comments on items listed as a public hearing on the agenda should be held until the hearing is opened. The agency and council are prohibited by law from taking any action on matters discussed that are not on the agenda. And no adverse conclusions should be drawn if the agency or council does not respond to public comment at this time. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak under this definition of public comment, please come forward.
Hello, my name is Olga Garcia. I reside at 649 St. Michelle Drive. I am here, first of all, I would like to thank the City Council and Mayor and everyone in the community for giving me this opportunity to speak. I am here because I would like to thank Santos Garcia for everything he's done for our community, for standing up for what he said he would stand up for. I want you to know that you don't stand alone. The community is behind you, and I'm very proud to have campaigned for you, and I don't mean no disrespect for anyone else. I just thought I wanted to tell you that I'm very proud of what you've accomplished and that you don't stand alone because the community stands behind you. And that's about all I have to say. Thank you, everyone.
Great, Ms. Garcia, thank you very much for being here. Anyone else in the audience wishing to speak under public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and move into the consent calendar. I'd like to further discuss item 3C. Is there any other council member or commissioner wishing to discuss any other item on the consent calendar? Seeing none, Bob, really what I'd like to do on the financials, just more of an overview, kind of take us through. You have the original appropriations, and then you have adjustments, and then the revised budget. Can you just kind of give us an overview on how we do that, what that means when we have an adjustment, where the adjustment comes from, and then the encumbrances? And I have a couple of notes here. If you can do that, please, and I'll have a couple of for instances that I may.
Okay, certainly, Mayor. I mean, the original budget is what we approve at the beginning of the year, and we've actually already approved the original budget for the 19-20 fiscal year that's coming up with the ROPS. So basically, when we approve the ROPS in January, that's the budget that you'll see in the successor agency funds. The only difference, the other fund, is the low-mod housing fund, and we approve that budget separately. It's not part of the ROPS. So that's what you see as the original budget. So then we move through, like if you're looking at the housing fund, any transfers or adjustments are made, you know, throughout the year through a budget amendment is normally the process that the transfers or adjustments are made, and then you end up with the revised budget throughout the year. So I'm not sure if that answers the question on those three items you talked about.
It was just really an opportunity to kind of show the formula. Maybe the commission may have a question or two. I just want to make sure that we all are understanding of how the budget is done. I know we had passed it already.
Right.
So it's just more of an opportunity, not really questioning the numbers or anything, just an opportunity for council to.
You bet. Yeah, if there's any particular
grasp,
particular items we want to talk about, we can go into a little bit more detail.
And so the last page that shows the grand totals, that says available budget. Has that been adjusted yet, the $4.9 million? Because I know we're not completely up to.
You know, that's pretty much where we are on the fly with it. I mean, some of the projects that are in there, we might not get carried out this year. You know, like the Adelaide subdivision is being carried in there, and it'll pretty much stay in there through the end of the year, but it's rebudgeted in the ROPS that we already took, so it'll appear again next year.
Which was really kind of my last question. As
right.
far as timelines, I know we have here the financial reports, but as far as timelines, I think we're on track.
Yes.
With everything, with all the five projects or so that we have in the hopper.
Right, right. And we'll talk about the housing projects upcoming, and we'll discuss Adelaide. It'll be one of the items that we talk about on that item later in the meeting. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. Any questions, Bob, regarding that particular item? Great. Thank you very much. With that, I'll entertain a motion for the consent calendar.
So moved to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Excuse me. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to projects and reports. Item 4A, this is a mid-year operational budget report in consideration of a resolution authorizing the approving amendments of the city's fiscal year 2018-2019. Mr. Prisbilla.
Thank you and good evening, Mayor and Council members. I'm excited to present this item to you tonight. got postponed last time. I'm glad that you have a lot of energy for it tonight, but we won't take too much energy because it's a positive report. Hopefully you walk out of here feeling more energized than when you walked in.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Let's start from the beginning of the slideshow here. So this is the mid-year budget report, and we also this time request budget amendments from council for those departments that have recognized amendments that are necessary at this time. So the purpose of this report is to measure the budget performance as of mid-year, which is December 31st, 2018. Determine if any budget amendments are needed, as mentioned a little bit earlier, and then this is kind of a starting point for next year's budget preparations. This year we're getting kind of a late start, but we've had a lot of changes going on, and we sat down and walked through the budget calendar the other day, and the team's committed to get it done in time, and I'm sure that we'll do a good job on it as well, because we've got a good team working on it. We'll start off with the overview of three key elements. We're going to talk a little bit about the general fund reserve policy. We're going to talk a little bit about Measure K, and we'll talk about utility funds, just kind of a background of all three of those before we get into the dollars here. The general fund reserve policy, so it was established in November of 2016, and it indicates that the city shall maintain at least a 30% reserve of the adopted general fund budget. So for fiscal year 2018-2019, the general fund budget was $38.6 million. So the reserve is required to have at least $11.6 million per the following. The policy calls for 15% to be set aside for cash flow needs, 5% for to stabilize revenues. So in other words, if we see that we're going to have less revenues in 1 year during the year than anticipated, there's 5% there that can help us cushion that when we have a downturn, et cetera. Also, there's catastrophic emergencies. So this is money that's set aside in case there was a large need for money due to an earthquake, flood, or whatever, tornado, whatever it might take place. So the total then is 30%, 30% of the general fund budget. So let's talk now a little bit about fund balance information. So the numbers are changing in this slide from the time that we prepared the report, because we just received the audited financial statements on Monday, and it's a little bit more positive than we had anticipated even. So the fund balance for the general fund as of year end June 30th, 2018 is $18 million in the general fund. That includes Measure K, that includes the funds that we'll be discussing tonight. So that's broken down into different designations that are within the audited financial statement. So non-spendable fund balance is about $600,000. That's for things like inventory and prepaids, things that we haven't expended yet or we haven't exhausted, but they're assets that we have available to be used. So for example, in the inventory, it's sitting in the warehouse to be used. Once it's given out to a department and they use it, then it'll be expended. But it's considered part of the general fund balance until it is expended. Does that make sense? Then we have below that a key item that this year, this is the committed fund balance of $11.5 million. That is committed this year based on the previous slide, the 30% general fund reserve policy. So $11.5 million is committed. It's actually a little bit more than that, but it's rounded to $11.5 million committed for the budget stabilization reserve. That's our 30% that's set aside. Then we have our assigned fund balance, and that's assigned for such things as insurance reserves, OPEB liability, and then we have $20,000 in there for the golf course capital improvements. So those monies have been assigned for certain purposes and set aside for that. So beyond that, you have the unassigned fund balance. So you have what we set aside, the 30%, plus the things that are really non-spendable or assigned for other things. And then that $4.7 million is cream on top of the milk. In other words, that's available for spending at council's discretion. That could be used for one-time expenditures, capital outlay, capital improvements, different things that the council may decide to utilize those funds for. We wouldn't want to start using that fund balance for ongoing operations and make commitments, for example, for more positions than our current year operations can, our current year revenues can cover.
Right.
It's kind of like the, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I just have I guess it's a really technical question. Not super technical, but, and I don't want to have those too much, but so we have $4.7 million on top. Will we still reserve 30% of that to go into our reserve fund? So if we start allocating that towards something, it becomes part of our budget, right? If we make a budget amendment, so that would grow up and our reserves would have to go up accordingly? Or is that something that's not factored?
Not really.
Is that getting too into the weeds on that?
So technically, trying really not to get technical at all on this, it should be 30% of our operational budget. So if you add something, some kind of capital outlay, that would be below the line, so separate from that. So it should be 30% of our operational budget. And then by adding that to the capital outlay, that's not really increasing our operational budget. So, it's basically the operational budget is what we set as we use for the 30% calculation.
Thank you.
So we're well funded in that regard. Any other questions so far?
Of course, Councilman Garcia.
You mentioned in the assigned fund balance, $20,000 for capital improvements, I believe you said, for the golf course?
Yes. So we have $20,000 set aside for capital improvements. I believe that Parks and Rec could respond to that better, but I believe we have an obligation to utilize dollars, have dollars available to provide capital improvements if a well goes down or something needs to be taken care of. They also have responsibility to provide such services, but for some reason we have the $20,000 that's been assigned per the auditors for golf course capital. And then we also have our OPEB liability, which is other post-employment benefits, so that's set aside to cover the health care costs of the retirees that we cover. And then the last one, actually the biggest portion of that whole thing is about $1.1 million that's set aside for insurance. So if we have retrospective adjustments where we had a bad year where there's claims against the city for liability or workers' comp, and we need to pay more in that year because we didn't put enough deposit in during that year to cover those expenses, then that money is set aside for that purpose. Also a conservative step to have the funds available so that we're not blindsided. Does that answer that question sufficiently? Excellent. And remember, the total is $18 million, and below that it's just the components that make up that $18 million. That's a very positive number for the city of Madera. In short, the city is fiscally sound. Let's talk a little bit about Measure K. Measure K was approved by voters in November of 2016. It's a half-cent transaction and use tax. It's a subset of the general fund, but it's only to be used for public safety purposes per the city council direction. And we are splitting it equally between police and fire. The unused balances at year-end will carry forward and remain designated to police and fire. In fact, right now we have them both combined in the fund 1025. So to simplify it in the future, we're going to split that fund into 1025 and 1026, police and fire, and we'll split it out based on half that came in and whatever they expended, and whatever's left in there is in their respective fund balances. So we know that fire has been building up funds to be used on the new fire station, and so there's quite a bit of money set up inside of their fund for that purpose. PD's also had some money set aside.
Probably, I'm sure you would agree that it would be better to separate the two.
Yes.
I mean, they equally get the same share every year of the sales tax revenue, but
yep,
as far as expenditures and revenues, to keep
yes,
them separate would be the best.
And we sat down with PD and fire and city manager and work this out so that everybody is in agreement of how we're going to set that up, and we think it'll make it much better for tracking, easier for everybody to know how much money is in their savings at any time or their fund balance. Anybody know what that noise is? Is my time up?
So my pad died, so maybe it is.
Okay, I'll continue. You'll forget the noise in a minute because this gets really exciting. So the utility funds overview. So the fiscal position has strengthened over the past 4 years. We're now meeting our debt service coverage obligations, and we are better positioned to complete deferred maintenance and to expand our infrastructure. We followed the advice of the rate consultants, Raftellus, the consultants, and we even had them come back and let us know if we could afford to not make the next increase. And we actually recently lowered the water conservation rate by 50%. That'll reflect quite a savings for the people that use a good amount of water during the hot months to water their lawns, because they get into the tier two and tier three rates, so that should be really significant savings for them. We also delayed and reduced the scheduled 10% increase to 6%. So instead of going 10%, we only raised it to 6%, and we did that later in the year. And we are looking to issue debt to finance water infrastructure in 2020. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Okay, so I remember the discussion we had regarding the delayed and reduced scheduled increase. I know it's kind of soon, so soon after that. Is there anything projected, do you see, moving forward as we do whatever we're doing for future delayed or rate increases?
No, we haven't looked that far ahead yet. We're not anticipating, because it started late in this fiscal year, we didn't adjust for that in our budgets, and we're not sure what the final difference will be based on the 50% increase on or decrease on water conservation and the 6% increase on the regular rates. But we think it'll be close to budget, and then we'll prepare our analysis as we begin the 2019-2020 budget preparations.
And I recognize it is soon. It is soon for that kind of discussion, but you know that's a subject of interest in the community, and as we look forward, certainly would like to have more conversations about that.
Absolutely. I look forward to those conversations as well. In 2020, we're looking to issue debt for water infrastructure, primarily the water tanks. And then we're in the process of examining our development impact fees as well, which will also have an effect on providing infrastructure for the utility funds. So regarding the general fund, the general fund's the least restricted fund. It pays for police, fire, planning, roads, and any legitimate purposes that the city finds of importance. We have in the fiscal year 18-19 budget a projected $1.3 million deficit overall. And I think it's really important to hear that word projected, because year after year we've had a projected excess of expenditures over revenues, but we've held back on our expenditures. We've come slightly better than projected on our revenues, and we've ended up the year with a surplus. So projected doesn't mean the money comes out of the bank. It's not till we actually spend it, and at the end of the year we see whether we brought in more than we expended or not. So people keep saying that we've had deficits. We haven't had deficits over the last at least 6 years for the general fund, and I'll show you a slide a little bit later that shows you actually how we've done over the years with the general fund balance. Any questions so far? So again, we're expected to balance the budget by year end. And
that's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's great news.
We'll continue the trend. And then of course next year we're gonna change the way we do budgeting. We've had a consultant come in and talk to us. We've heard loud and clear that we don't wanna see any more numbers that project more operational expenditures than revenues, so we'll figure out how to build in factors for vacant positions that result in the savings that we see every year. So we're looking forward to an exciting year of budget preparations, And some of the advice that comes from the budget consultant, we won't be able to incorporate this year because it's so late in the game, but next year we'll certainly improve our budget preparation process. Please.
I think you will see my fellow council folks here applaud the day when we can strike that projected budget, $1.3 million, because in the community, who are not sitting in our meetings and looking at these things, they're certainly confused every time, do we have one and do we not? So for a layperson like myself, I will certainly welcome any analysts that come and help us do that so that we can get this right. I think it'll benefit us so we can quit having this conversation about a budget deficit.
I look forward to that as well. But as I've mentioned before, I went back to 2001 and I saw a deficit projected that year of $840,000. I wasn't here back then, but there was a projected deficit then when they only had, I think, $1.4 million in fund balance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they projected a deficit of $840,000. Look at us now. We've got $18 million and a $1.3 million projected deficit, which is a very small portion of the budget and actually represents what I think about 3.4% of our budget, the $1.3 million. So practice has been erase that deficit during the year and come up with a surplus. In the future, it's going to be budget, no deficit, budget a surplus, or at least a balanced budget, and then do better than that if you can. Okay, really there's two major components of the general fund. Those are funds 1020 and the Measure K fund, which I mentioned before was 1025. In the future, it'll be 1026 for fire also. And we'll discuss those because they make up the lion's share. Here's a slide I was talking with you about just a minute ago. This is the year-end general and Measure K fund balance chart. So you can see how the fund balance for the general fund has gone up and down year after year. If you look at starting in 2013, from then on you'll see that we've climbed quite a bit. From, looks like it was just over $10 million back in fiscal year 2012-2013 to right at $18 million. So you'll see that we've separated out in that total the orange portion, which is Measure K, which is technically also part of the general fund, but we're accounting for that separately. When you look in the audited financial statements, you're going to see that the $18 million is what the auditors call general fund, and it includes Measure K. Any questions on that? So that's a pretty positive slide. Just let you look at that for a minute. Any questions on that slide? And of that $18 million, remember we've committed $11.6 million for our 30% reserve, that's a pretty conservative, pretty strong fiscal condition for a city to be in, and not a lot of cities have that. So the city of Madera has done a good job as far as not overspending what they bring in and socking away dollars. In the fund balance, I would look at this as kind of like your savings account. You have your checking account, which is for your daily operations. You get your paychecks. You pay your monthly bills every month. If you have more revenues, more money coming in, you might set a goal. You're going to set aside $100 every month for college fund, to buy a house, to buy a car, or whatever. That would be like the fund balance. That would be your savings. But you need to make sure you have enough regular income coming in to cover your regular bills, your car payments, your food, gas, and such. So that's kind of like the operating portion of our budget, or like your checking account, whereas the savings is similar to our fund balance. And that's the way I look at it. And it's important to understand that each year we need to budget for our operational expenditures to be covered by operational revenues. So we don't want to hire more people than we can afford to pay the next year or the year after. And we can use money that's set aside for one-time purposes, for things like repairing HVAC or replacing HVAC systems, setting money aside to buy a new city hall at some point, other facility maintenance issues that we might want to sock money away for. Or, even the other night, I think council mentioned they wanted to see some sidewalk repairs. That's certainly something that could be done with general fund balance. That $4.7 million that I pointed out earlier as not being assigned or unassigned. Okay. So you'll notice in this slide, I've kind of broke it out a little bit differently. You'll see that we have a subtotal there for total operational surplus or deficit. Really, this is the level we should be looking at when we're deciding if there's a deficit or a surplus. So we had an original budget of $760,000 deficit. The revised budget is now showing $803,000 deficit, but that's because we haven't revised our budget to say we think we're going to spend less, or we haven't even revised it for additional revenues that we anticipate we'll see coming in. As was mentioned in the staff report, there's some line items that are going to come in higher than anticipated that will bring us, you know, maybe $1 million higher in revenues than anticipated, and we know that our expenditures will come in lower. So at mid-year, there's actually a year-to-date actual. This column, year-to-date actual, we actually have a surplus in the operational budget of $614,000. So revenues in the general fund at mid-year, December 31st, exceed our expenditures by $600,000. And as mentioned in the staff report, that you have to realize there's a couple-month delay in our sales tax revenues when they come in. We've already accounted for the first payment of property tax, so that's in our figures, but I think we're doing rather well at mid-year with the figures that we're representing here, and it's actually a little bit better than this. For example, engineering identified, as mentioned in the staff report, an amount that would bring their expenditures up closer to 50-51% than expressed here. So,
Councilman Hawley, you have a question?
Yes. Tim, over the last few years I've been on the council, I've always heard that we're in a deficit when we have a reserve fund. Wouldn't the reserve fund clear that deficit out, or how do we get to a deficit if we have a reserve?
Okay, good question. So that comes back to what I mentioned a little bit earlier. You need to make sure that your money that's coming into your checking account each year covers your expenses that you have in your regular operating. So we have to make sure that our operational expenditures are covered by our regular income. So that's where we would have a deficit if we said we're going to spend more dollars, which we did here. We projected with all of the positions being filled and all of the expenses being realized and that amount of revenue projected. We originally had about a $760,000 deficit, but we all realized that we're not going to realize that deficit. Like a couple years ago, we had, I think, a $911,000 gap, right, that we all agreed we were going to find savings during that year, and we did. And we ended up with a nice surplus for that year. I believe that was 17-18, which we see the results of that. So you also notice that I've used the term gap down here instead of deficit, because this $617,000 would help to cover the capital outlay, which isn't from operations, which would come from, Donald, what you were talking about, from fund balance. So we can use that on one-time expenditures, and absolutely, as long as there's enough money to cover that, there's no deficit. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So otherwise, the money that we have in reserve, we just leave that just like it's never there.
It's like your savings account, and you can absolutely use that for one-time expenses, capital outlay like purchasing buildings, purchasing parking lots, getting a new HVAC system, putting in sidewalks. So those are capital items that are not part of regular expenditures or operational expenditures.
Tim, just a quick question. Since you arrived at the city, has the city dipped into the 30% general fund reserve? So the 30% general fund reserve that we have right now, which is $11.6 million, has the city had to dip into that for any reason?
No, I don't believe so. And so that was created when by me. So I should say not me, by the city after I got here. And since that time, we haven't gone below 30% of the operating budget. This is the first year we're actually plugging it into the financial statements, committing it to that so that it's recognizable. I think it was just the year before that we had established it, so we didn't know till the end of that year that how much we had.
And so to respond to Councilmember Hawley's question,
yes,
historically in the city, we've adopted a budget of hypothetically, let me say $35 million. And then if every position was filled and if the city spent every line item that we had projected in this past year, we would have spent $36.3 million. However, so far, the city has not, we are not on pace to spend the full $36.3 million. Rather, we're on pace this year to actually save money, and that's where the surplus comes in, really into effect. I think moving forward, one of the items that we'll be taking a hard look at is making sure that instead of saying we have a $1.3 million deficit, the goal is to better allocate funds and just to make sure that we're properly projecting potential expenses. So one of the ways we'll be doing that is that rather than saying that every position is going to be filled 100% of the time, we know that's not the case. So what we'll take a look at is we're going to look at individual departments to see how frequently certain positions become available, and then what we'll do is we're going to subtract that from the projected expenses. So what we'll do is we're going to build it right into the equation on the front end rather than try to do it on the back end or say we have a deficit, we have to close the gap. Because it's quite frankly, the message is incorrect to say that we're in a deficit when all along we have $11.6 million in our savings account.
Right.
So we've never touched that. It's in the bank. And on top of that, we have an additional $4 million in the bank as well that we haven't touched. So to go back to what Tim was saying a short while ago, the city council can elect to use that $4 million however it elects to do. The cautionary tale, and Tim alluded to this a short time ago, we would simply want to be sure that moving forward that we separate one-time expenses versus ongoing expenses. You generally want to budget your ongoing expenses based on whatever you're going to bring in on any given year. Because if you allocate the $4 million for ongoing expenses, we may have the money now, but those funds have been built up over a certain period of time. Maybe it's more than one fiscal year. Maybe it's 2.5 fiscal years. And then the following fiscal year, that's when you find yourself in between a rock and a hard spot. So one-time expenses are not major concerns. It's generally ongoing expenses raise more red flags, or probably not raise red flags, but cause, I would say, areas of concern for, I think, everyone. So not simply the council, but it's the community, staff. And so hopefully that sheds a little bit of light in terms of the term deficit and how every year the city comes up with the term deficit, and it's $1.3 million one year, it's $2 million the next. Moving forward, kind of the goal is to make sure that we're properly or clearly articulating our assumptions to make sure that everyone understands that not every position is going to be filled 100% of the time because we have vacancies. Thank you.
That'll keep our money. That will let us know that if we're going to make budget or not, right?
Correct. And so
we projected.
Correct. So just one example. Currently in my office, we have an admin analyst position that's vacant. That position's been vacant since I've arrived. And quite frankly, I think it's been vacant, I think, for quite some time. So that line item, because we haven't filled it, those dollars are simply being saved. So that position, by me not filling it, that's helping to eliminate the $1.3 million deficit.
Okay. But the original budget included the salary and benefit package for that particular position. And so by not filling it, when we get into this year or to the end of the year, it would show that we didn't fill it, so there was a savings, and you do that a few times. And Mayor Pro Tem Montes had a
Thank
question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, Mr. Prisbilla and Ms. Rodriguez answered my question. Thank you.
Councilman Garcia.
I would be okay with that position not being filled if it wasn't necessary, but if it is necessary, I could certainly see filling that position. I understand budget and, you know, going into deficit is what we don't want, but you're new to the city. You've done a great job, and I'm kind of going offline here, but if you need someone, if you found somebody within the city that's helping you out, that's great. But if not, then we have to have this discussion about getting you an assistant, because your job is much way too important not to have someone there for you to be able to turn to and say, hey, I need help with this and get it done. So if we need to have the discussion, I would please ask you to address that.
This slide here, Tim, I just want to make a point. When M&O is only at 40% at mid-year, that's a great number. But we know that revenues, we've only received, well, what I consider, we haven't received fourth quarter in my business. I don't know if it's second quarter here. But as far as the last quarter of the year, we won't receive those tax numbers, those tax dollars until, I mean, they lag behind for so long. It's not even due to retailers until the end of April, or excuse me, until the end of January.
So we can accrue those revenues that come in through the end of August back to the current fiscal year.
But that's, as far as sales tax, that's one of our biggest revenue quarters, is the end of the year, including Christmas. So it's not due to be paid to Sacramento until the end of January, and then Sacramento does not get it to us until February or March. Those numbers are not in here, is what I'm saying. Last year's last quarter, we have not received those funds yet, have we?
Right. I'm sure that we're at least one quarter behind in our sales tax revenues, that we received money after the report was prepared. Actually, I'm not certain of that. I'd have to go back and look. We did talk about sales tax revenues in the staff report. Let me just review
yeah,
that
I don't,
real quick.
I don't think it's in there. And really, I'm just kind of making a point. My point is that we are heading down that fiscally sound path, and that there's revenues that are not updated yet. And with M&O only being at 40% of the year, expenditures below 50%, I just want to make a point that I think we're on a very good track at this point in time. That's all.
Absolutely. I think I've indicated in the report that the departments anticipate that they'll come closer to budget towards the end of the fiscal year, so they may have contracts that they need to pay towards in the second half of the fiscal year, but all indications are that we won't be at 100% of expenditures at all. Like I say, we anticipate that we will balance the operational budget during the year.
And that second round of property tax, is that May or June?
So I think we receive June. June, the second round is in June.
Second round, okay.
Uh-huh.
Great, Tim. Thank you. Please continue.
Okay. Yeah, we usually get the first round in January or February, but June is when the second round comes in. Okay. Any questions on this slide? I want to make sure there's no confusion here, but I've compared a percentage of the actual to the original budget, and then a percentage of the actual to the revised budget. So, for example, the big one here is that you'll see that there were 301% of original budget. And that's because there was dollars that were appropriated in the prior year that got rolled over into this year's budget. So with the revised budget, rolling that $1.2 million into this, plus any other additions, brings the total revised budget up considerably, so that we're only at 76% of the revised budget. Any questions on that? Okay, so top 10 revenues we discussed. Again, sales and use tax, there's at least one, maybe 2 months missing in there for sales and use tax. And projections from Munis are that we could exceed the $8.2 million by about $450,000. So that's another positive swing for us. That's in the staff report. Right now at mid-year, it's showing 44%, but we can anticipate that by the end of the year, we'll have about at least $8.7 million of actual revenues. So that will help balance the budget as well. All the others look pretty good, except for the one I mentioned a little bit earlier. We're showing engineering fees, projects, and transfers in at only 23%. We had not accrued back the project costs, the engineering charges to the various capital projects that they have going on. And once Keith gave me those figures and plugged it in, they're actually at 51% of their budget at mid-year, which is excellent, and makes the overall picture even better. So we're most likely above 50% once we include that adjustment to engineering. There may be some delay in grants coming into to police, but we'll bill those later on, and I anticipate that police most likely will exceed their budgeted revenues as well. I know that they're doing very well in some of their budget line items for revenues. Any questions on anything else? So cable utility franchise tax, we're low, but that's just the timing, and they send it in closer to the end of the fiscal year.
Second half.
Yeah, and they get, you know, the checks just come in, so we don't accrue that until we receive it. So overall, so far, I think revenues are really looking pretty good. We're really close to 50%, if not above 50% at mid-year, and we're way below on our expenditures. We have, you know, a number of vacant positions and M&O costs that you said 40%. So looks like another positive year, another banner year for the city of Madera. Measure K funds. Again, we've got operational separated out at mid-year. They were at a $754,000 surplus. Of course, we all know that money's going to be spent pretty soon on the new fire station, and we're looking forward to that. And we're also going to issue approximately $4.5 million of bonds to help pay for that new fire station. When we do that, we're going to have to recognize that as income. So that will also kick up what the auditors show as in our fund balance, but those dollars will get spent back down over time. Even with the capital outlay, they're still at a $508,000 surplus. Of course, we all realize that a lot of capital outlays coming down the road with the fire station.
Tim, simply for the benefit of the council and the community, can you highlight where the fire station funds are actually housed on that spreadsheet? The council may not be able to see the green line that I believe you can see on your screen. It's whitewashed on my screen. So can you go back to the slide you were on? So on total 1025 capital outlay, it's currently showing that we have a revised budget of $2.5 million, and to date we've only used $245,000. So we've only used 10% of the overall 2.5. As the new fire station is constructed, the $2.5 million for the most part is going to be almost completely used. So by the end of the year, it may not be this fiscal year, but within the next probably 12 months, the fire station's anticipated to be complete. So once that fire station's complete, that fund account's going to be exhausted. Not only that, we'll have to borrow $4.5 million to finish the fire station. So that's a good example sometimes when projects, when they take several fiscal years to complete, it's not apparent when you simply look at it on one line item.
Yeah, and remember that you really want to compare the operational revenues with, so they've made more money than they're expending this year, and the capital outlay will be below the line. So those will come from fund balance, and plus we'll have the bonding revenues that will come in that will also be utilized to pay for the improvements, the building of the new fire station. And then, of course, the operational expenditures will follow, which will be staffing the fire stations and servicing the debt, and then all the M&O costs related to that as well.
Councilman Garcia.
So we talked about one-time expenditures from the reserve, and now, including the fire station discussion, we're talking about borrowing money for the 4-point-something million that we don't have for that. Does it make sense to maybe cut that in half and take maybe 2,000 or 2 million from the reserve fund as a one-time expenditure for that, or is it better to do it this other way? You have to let me know because I don't.
Yeah. So the way it was calculated, the need for the $4.5 million, that was projected by Dave Merchant when he put the schedule together of all of the costs related to the construction and adding all the fixtures and whatnot to the facility. So that includes the balance that we have in the Measure K fund for fire, plus the $4.5 million. I saw the other day Matt Lawson was showing me the schedule, and as the total cost at one point was estimated at $10 million in a report that Dave Merchant had prepared. But yeah, we'll have to look at those costs again to see exactly how much we do need to make sure that the amount that we're bonding for is needed and not excessive and sufficient for that matter.
Tim, so to try to come respond to the council member's question, so right now we have roughly $4 million of unassigned funds. We know we need to borrow $4.5 million. So I believe your question is, can we simply take the $2 million of the $4 million of unassigned and simply borrow $2.5 million rather than the $4.5 million? That's absolutely an option for the council. If council directs staff to do that, and we would be happy to do that. I think as we're going through the budget process, those are probably some of the items that we should discuss collectively. So can we do that? Absolutely. It's completely up to the council.
This is a learning experience for me. The Garcia budget is nowhere near the city of Madera's. And so making decisions about what you do with the monies and how, you know, I understand totally that we don't want to wipe out, you know, everything we have. But if we could do that, I just, from a viewpoint of a layman, that's the kind of questions I would have to say, hey, well, does this make sense? Or could you explain to me why it doesn't make sense, right? So, yeah, I appreciate your input.
So coming up, I believe, the next meeting, we're going to have a presentation from the bond team, and those would be good questions to ask them at the time and make sure that we're on track with all of that. I wanted to go back to this slide right here so you can see the orange portion at the end of 17-18. That's $2-plus million of Measure K that's in their reserve. So included in the $4.7 million is part of that. So if we spend that, let's say that's $2.4 million. Actually, let's say that $0.4 million of that belongs to PD, $2 million belongs to fire. Then we could take the $2 million of fire plus the additional revenues that they're generating this year. Let's say that's going to be $4 million that'll go towards it. And then we get another 4.5. So let's see, it's a total of $8.5 million that's going to go towards that. So in essence, we are taking some money out of that 4.7. It's going to be $2+ million at least, and maybe $4 million by the time we've built that up. But it's kind of important to realize that will be coming from here, whatever we expend on that. And we want to leave a little bit of a cushion in there for other projects, like whether it's sidewalks or whatever. Okay, so Measure K is very positive. We had estimated, I believe, $4.2 million for the year between fire and PD for revenues, and it looks like it's going to be $5 million from what Muni Services is projecting at this time for the fiscal year. So that's extra $800,000. Split that between the two, it's $400,000 extra each. So a lot of positive things are happening with Measure K.
Yeah. And so just one point of clarification. So when Tim says extra, that simply means more than what we were anticipating. So that simply means that we initially didn't budget for that, but because the economy is doing so well, quite frankly, we're receiving more. So those funds, what we're doing with them is we're putting them in the separate accounts, and we're splitting it 50-50. 50% for the police department, 50 for the fire department. Those funds cannot be expended until we come back before the council and council appropriates those funds.
Another point to mention, council may be interested to hear that Measure K also, we're setting aside money towards their 30%. So not just, you know, Fund 1020 isn't setting aside all the money. It's not all in Fund 1020. They've also committed, we started off with $130,000 each. So $260,000 is in part of that $11.6 million that's been committed for our general fund budget stabilization reserve. And then each year we're establishing a goal to set aside a little bit more until they reach their 30%. So each of those two funds will have their 30% set aside for a rainy day. Another very conservative and prudent way to, for us to do business. So let's move on to the enterprise funds. Combined, you'll see that they're at 50% of revenues at mid-year, so that's a good sign. And total expenditures were at 43%. That's even including capital outlay, which hasn't, you know, at 56%, but we still have $2.3 million surplus. And you'll notice I didn't separate operations out for this one, because this is just a summary of all the enterprise funds. We'll get into a little bit more specifics with the major water funds, major enterprise funds, which are water, sewer, and solid waste. All positive signs at the water in the water fund at mid-year at 52% revenues. Total operating expenditures only at 42%. And capital outlay, we've got $2.9 million in the revised budget for capital outlay, but they've only spent $213,000 so far. So projects will be completed, just haven't been completed yet. And one of the things that we're excited about, another change that I think I've alluded to in some reports to council in the past, is we're actually going to create a separate fund for capital projects, so that when the dollars don't get expended in 1 year, that budget doesn't get carried back over into the water fund. And kind of, you saw how we increased the general fund when the building was added into the current year for the revised budget. So what we'll do is we'll basically just transfer dollars into that separate capital project fund, and it'll be sitting in there for however many years it takes to expend it. It'll come out of the respective funds of water, sewer, garbage, general fund, and it'll be there for us to spend the money on. We'll know that it's out of there, and what we have left is what we have to spend on operations and, you know, future capital outlay projects. So all good news for the water fund so far. Any questions on that? Sewer fund, also in a surplus position, even with the capital outlay that's been done there. You'll see that was also a big revision to that budget. It went up by $4.5 million because some projects that didn't get done in the prior year got carried forward into this fiscal year. So once we get the capital project budget set up, we won't have those big revisions coming up, okay? So you'll see that we went from 161% of the original budget to only spending 38% of the revised budget. And that's what the fund balance is set aside for. The extra monies, and let's call it savings, is there to, like, buy a house, send kids to college. That's our capital outlay, whether it's water tanks or lines or, you know, a new pump. That's what that one-time expenditures money is for. Any questions on the sewer fund? M&O is also very low on that one so far, only 25% of the original budget, 23% of the revised. We all know there's a lot going on in the sewer fund, and working closely, you know, engineering and the public works department are on top of that and making some major repairs that are much needed. And as mentioned early on in the slide, we're now in a position to be able to make those repairs to complete the deferred maintenance and to expand our infrastructure.
That's very important. When we had our meeting last week, our CIP meeting, and I had asked with the cameras, I was really concerned over what we would find in our infrastructure, and it seems that we are maybe where we had anticipated. Nothing worse, in other words, with what we anticipated, but that is something that could easily spend a lot of money and find out that it's part of M&O. Better to catch it on the front end than after we have a serious damage. But at the same time, we're being proactive in looking at our utilities underground. But there's a cost for that as well. So I was happy to hear that so far that things are looking pretty good as far as our non-sexy underground infrastructure.
I thought that was a very good report, the CIP, five-year CIP presentation.
It was.
Solid waste fund. This is kind of a different animal than water and sewer. You'll see that it has a projected deficit and it has an actual deficit at mid-year. Since I got here, I was told that council at one point said, you know, we've got a lot of money built up in fund balance in the solid waste fund. Let's not raise the rates for a number of years. We'll let the customers enjoy the low rates on solid waste and basically let that fund balance be depleted. I think it's about getting to the point where we need to decide what kind of change needs to be made there so that we don't spend more than we have. We don't go in the hole with the fund balance, but we'll be looking at that very carefully for the 2019-2020 budget preparations. Any questions on that slide? Okay, so that brings us to the proposed budget amendments. We've got basically three categories. One comes from Public Works. They're reducing personnel expenses. This is related to the Mid-Valley contract changes. So some of the costs for the increased costs for the contract services that we're paying to Mid-Valley for the additional services they're provided will be offset by personnel cost savings. And in that, there's a total, there are total credits of $392,000. I'm sorry, total debits, that should be.
Yeah, you have two credits.
Total, yeah, I'm sorry. Total debits, which means expense, additional expenditures, and total credits of $249,000. So the net impact is $143,000 increase in expenditures. I apologize for that typo there, but again, the bullet below that explains that it's a $143,000 increase in expenditures that's not offset by savings and other expenditures. It's not offset by additional revenues or anything like that. Any questions on that? Okay, then we have the grants department. They wanted to do this mid-year budget to recognize some additional transportation revenues funding and the related expenditures. And there was one small transfer between line items of $6,000 that really is insignificant, but the total debits were $209,000, total credits $209,000, and I got those right on that one. Net impact is zero. In other words, the expenditures are offset by revenues or transfers. And then there's the proposed budget amendments for the engineering department. This is basically shift between from one project to another. Is there a question?
I'm sorry, Tim. There was Councilman Garcia had a question, I believe, on that previous slide.
I'm back.
For solid waste.
The solid waste. Okay, so you net impact $143,000 increase in expenditures on our part?
Yes, for the solid waste budget.
Okay. And how did that come about?
Let's look down. Here's the solid waste budget. So the top line item there for solid waste disposal, $4,760. So they anticipated that they'll have $99,000 of savings for salaries full-time. And I believe that also includes the benefits. They just lumped it into the one line item there. And there's $150,000 savings on, I believe that is related to the solid waste containers that will now be taken care of by Mid-Valley Disposal. I know every year they set aside $150,000 for new carts. So as part of the contract, Mid-Valley, John, am I speaking correctly? Mid-Valley will pick up that cost. So that's the savings, but Public Works has calculated that the additional contracted costs are going to be $392,000 for this fiscal year. So that's how you end up with an increase. Any questions on that, please?
The question was, would it have been better to keep that in-house, or did we contract all those services out to get the savings for our personnel, or are there unrelated items in that 392? So what it looks like is that we said, okay, we can Mid-Valley can do something that we do better, we're gonna have some savings, and then it actually ended up costing us more.
That's the bottom line. That's what I would say, but maybe Wendy or John could expand on that a little bit.
Carried over.
Positions that were not in this, such as say the grants program manager, I believe that was previously cut. Is that correct?
That's a very good observation. Leave it to Wendy to come up with that one. But I would want to investigate that to make sure that the answer is correct. But what she's saying is we might have started off this year without a solid waste department manager position in there, so that the savings was already there, recognized at the beginning of the year. And then as we went through the year, there's additional savings. So it's worth looking into to see what the expenditures were in the prior years, what position changes there were. So, yeah, very good observation, Wendy. Thank you. I'll look into that and get back to council with further clarification.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very good question. Thank you. So that was Public Works and then grants. We talked about that. That's a net zero to them because they found additional revenues. So it means enhanced services because there's more revenues in, and they'll be expending those revenues on their projects. And then the one small transfer of $6,000. Then we have our engineering shifts. This is primarily where they found that one project may have needed more dollars and another project needed less dollars, so they're shifting dollars from one funding source to another project. Really not a big difference in total, but there is a net increase of $279,000 in expenditures. So like in this one, it shows in total debits of $1.8 million and credits of $1.5 million. Net increase in expenditures of $279,000. So between those three groups of amendments, there's a net increase in expenditures of $422,000 to the 2018-2019 budget as a result of these amendments. And this is these are the details of this. The top one is the solid waste, and then the transportation ones are related to grants. All the way through Measure T, actually further than that. No, through Measure T at the top, there's a $6,000 transfer between line items, which is really, they can actually transfer between line items at any time, as long as it's not increasing their budget overall. And then the rest of that are the projects, which are named here. And so, for example, they're moving $505,000 from the Fourth Lake Central project to the Olive Avenue widening, another project that I heard spoken about at the CIP meeting the other night. And they're moving $900,000 from the Lake Street widening into the Olive Avenue widening also. And these come from different funding sources. That's why they're broken out separately, because they're coming from different funds. Any questions on any of these budget amendments? Requests, I should say. Okay, so I think we've covered everything. I'd be glad to go back and answer any further questions you might have had on any slide or any questions off the slides that you'd like to ask. But the recommendation is the council approve the, I believe in the staff report, it asked you to consider the mid-year budget report, which you've done. And then we would like you to approve the proposed amendments to the fiscal year 2018-2019 budget as outlined, and just last thing discussed here in the staff report.
Any additional questions? Just a comment, Tim. Again, going back to last week's meeting on the CIP, there was a discussion about Gateway Avenue and the Rotary Complex about the need. And then today there's a discussion about possibly putting more money down on the fire station to reduce that debt, which are all good points. They really are good points. And in Enterprise Fund, where we have a surplus of $2.3 million, one statement I want to make is $2.3 million in enterprise really is not a lot of money. That's a sinkhole at Schnorr and leaves you a few dollars left over. And so when we talk about deferred maintenance that we've been doing for quite a while, we really need to understand that we can spend a lot of money on infrastructure for that deferred maintenance so that we don't fall into that trap of kicking the can down the road and then we have a catastrophe with our aging infrastructure. And let's face it, in East Madera, the city, the east side of Madera, there's a lot of old and ailing infrastructure. And then we talked a little bit about expanding infrastructure. As we grow, as the city grows, and we have this mid-year report, or we have an end-of-year surplus, this council, this new council, as well as councils in past, have talked about economic development. We've talked about targets, we've talked about in and outs, and we've talked about growing. Things don't grow without infrastructure, regardless of who pays for it. Things don't grow without infrastructure. And so as we have the discussions about fixing roads or buying down, I just want to be sure when we have those discussions that we have a clear picture of exactly the surplus we have, and then we have a clear picture of the direction we want to take our city as far as spending that money. Because the 4.7, which can easily be 2.7 after we take away Measure K, is not a lot of money. A surplus is great, and is being fiscally responsible. But it's easy to take three or four projects and do a feel-good project. But is that really moving our community forward and giving us the opportunity to make money? And that was the statement I made before, too. I don't mind spending a dollar to make two. And so I just kind of want to put my two cents worth in that we have not always been in a position to say we have additional monies, what do we do with it? But in order to be prudent, we must look at investing in our community like we did with Freedom Industrial Park. That's a good example where we spent a lot of money on infrastructure, allowing kind of a plug and play where companies from either out of town or out of state can come in into an industrial park that has a railroad spur close to the freeway and can kind of plug and play because the big picture is infrastructure is already put in place. And so as we look at the deficiencies off of Story Road in East Madera, the deficiencies as far as infrastructure, when we look at what do we have to offer other commercial and industrial businesses in the way of spec buildings or, again, infrastructure, I want to make sure that we wrap all that into the same report when we start talking about we have some additional monies, not a lot, but some additional monies. What are we going to do with it? So I welcome those discussions. I think it's all great to have, and I think it's a great point, Mr. Councilman, that if we have additional monies, why are we going to spend on the front end, we can spend a whole lot, we can save some money, but on the back end, we're going to pay a whole lot more for that fire station than if we were to put down an extra $1 million or $2 million. But we need a clear report on exactly what additional monies we have and what we plan on doing with those monies. I personally would like to see, to make sure that our maintenance in our enterprise funds, that we're a little more aggressive on that deferred maintenance. And two, I'd like to invest in infrastructure in our community so that we can offer those businesses, whether it be retail or commercial or industrial, the capacity to come into Madera, and we have the wastewater treatment plant to handle that larger capacity. We have the infrastructure in place to handle those businesses that would create 100, 200, 400 jobs here in the city of Madera. And that takes a partnership, the same partnership that we did with the Love's Travel Center, which we're finally moving some dirt and we're gonna see some revenue on that end. And that's just as far as the gas portion of it, but there's still some pads out there for potential hotels, retail, and things of that nature. And that was all because of the partnership we had to put infrastructure in place along Story Road, Sharon Avenue and 17. So when we come back with that report, it's going to be a long discussion, but I just want to make sure that this council has a clear picture on where we are. And it's hard right now to have a clear picture since we're still kind of at mid-year budget. There's still some revenues out there to be had, and then we're not clearly sure where we are in expenditures. But I think this is a fantastic report. I think what this shows at this point in time and what we've done, not only this past year but in years past, I think we're on track to do so. And I also appreciate the fact that we're going to kind of change the way that we look at this budget. The numbers may be the same, but it's always been very complex. It's always been very hard to read. And it's not that we're not being transparent. It just seems very foggy for general public to completely understand where do we stand as a city, because it's not council's money or even staff's money. This is Madera's money. So we want to make sure that they have a grasp and a complete understanding, as easy as we can make it anyway, as to where we stand financially. Anyway, those are my 2 cents. Great report, Tim. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for what we're looking for as far as the approving the amendments.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the proposed amendments for the fiscal year 2018-2019 budget.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the amendments. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thanks again. Thanks, everybody, for their input on our mid-year budget. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
I was looking at your code in preparation for the meeting, and you do have an ordinance that I have not seen in other cities, but you do have it. And it does say that all votes on motions on any ordinance or resolution shall be called for by the city clerk by calling the name of each member present, including the mayor. For other kinds of votes, you can have a voice vote, but not for resolutions and ordinances.
No, we look into that, and so you're asking for a roll call vote on that last motion?
Please.
That would be fine. Claudia, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Mayor Andrew Madone.
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Steve Montes.
Aye.
Councilmember Derek Robinson Sr.
Aye.
Councilmember Santos Garcia.
Aye.
Councilmember Donald Hawley.
Yes.
So it's a five yes and zero no, so the motion passes unanimously.
Motion passed unanimously with obviously with two absences. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. And we'll now move on to the housing portion, item 6A. This is an update on housing activities and discussion on acts of kindness.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, I'd like to begin with the going over where we're at with the 59 residential parcels that the successor housing agency owes, and then we'll end up with the acts of kindness at the end of the discussion and tie it in with the Malone properties. Okay, so right now, like I mentioned, the successor housing agency has 59 parcels, or at least by the time all the subdivision, when all the subdivision maps are recorded, we'll have 59 residential parcels. One of those subdivisions we have is a Riverside subdivision. It currently has 15 homes that are either under construction or in escrow at this time, and that project is moving along really nicely now. I'm not sure if all of the members have had a chance to drive through that neighborhood. I hope you have, or if you haven't, it's on Riverside, just east of Lake Street, just north of the Fresno River. Mm-hmm. So it's really a great project. And if you want to give me a call, I'll take you out there, and we can actually get inside and go through some of the houses and see what's going on. The amenities in them are really nice, with tile, stainless steel appliances, and ceiling fans, and the garages are all textured and taped and everything. It's really nice, you know. So that project's moving right along. The next one on the staff report is the Riverwalk subdivision. There's 12 lots there. This is on the south side of the river, in between A Street and C Street. And that one's in really the final stages of everything there. We just have to get the final map recorded and get it included in LMD. PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, is scheduled to be out there this month to install the gas and finish with the electrical in May. And I did talk to them today, and they still feel that they're on schedule to complete that. There have been some delays based on their bankruptcy and the fires that they had recently. So, but since speaking to them, they think that they're going to make this deadline that they've set for themselves. One concern they had was their coordination with AT&T and Comcast, but they're still hopeful that they'll be able to pull that off. So if that's completed in May and we do get the map recorded as soon as possible on that inclusion in the LMD, then those parcels will be ready to sell to a developer and to turn them into affordable units over there. So that'll be a great project too, and it's going to be the same plans, houses that are going in over at Riverside. Okay, on the staff report, the next project is the Adelaide subdivision. Right now, that the engineering plans have just gone to our engineering department, and they're going through their first review in the engineering. Those will get passed back and forth, so I anticipate it'll take a little bit longer to get the engineering completed. The map is going through its process right now. We did the precise plan inclusion in the CFD and all those, so the map is moving right along also at the same time. Once the engineering is done, what'll be left on that one and the map's recorded, what'll be left is the bidding of the project and then construction of the infrastructure. And we have roughly $1.6 million set aside for the infrastructure of that project. So that's one of the items you mentioned, Mayor, that the balance is still sitting in in the budget. So I'm moving right through. I don't know if anybody has any questions as we go
down so far
here on so any far of the projects. Okay, so the Midtown subdivision, we have six lots over there, and that's the successor agency wasn't going to take on the infrastructure development of that project. I mean, we were until dissolution took place, and then we didn't have the funds to complete all the infrastructure, undergrounding of utilities and water and sewer and everything that would have to occur for that. So, I mean, we're looking at different options for those properties right now. We've had all of them appraised, and the staff report does show what the market values are of those properties. But also, even in the meeting today, the Sagala Housing meeting, he's looking at some projects, might be able to find some money to do. He's considering some type of a senior development over there. But, that's just something that we're looking at right now. And I do have a couple other prospective buyers. I did tell Sagala I was giving him the first look at it because that would be a great project to utilize this entire parcel. But I do have some buyers that are interested in buying maybe one or two of these lots at a time. So that's what's up and coming for the Midtown subdivision. The Malone Street, we have the five lots over there that just closed escrow with Habitat for Humanity on March 27th, and for the DDA that said that they had end of June. They have to start construction basically by the end of June, but I anticipate that they'll be out before that time. So, like I said, I was wanting to bring in the discussion of acts of kindness along with the Malone property, because originally Councilwoman Gallegos asked me if we had any extra funding available to kind of help with the neighborhood with the Malone property, similar to some of the projects that the Redevelopment Agency used to do with, like, the Washington Court, where we would come in and for other residents in the neighborhood to improve the neighborhood, provide some landscaping or fences and items like that. But I told her we didn't have any more housing money left. So she brought up the idea of acts of kindness, and I believe she's discussed with Matthew Grundy with Habitat for Humanity is here right now, and he's the CEO of Habitat. I believe that's the title, the correct title. And also, I guess Steve Montez, Councilmember Montez, has some information about acts of kindness from after talking with Gallegos. So I'll let them discuss.
Yeah,
bring up the topic.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Yeah, and we have from Habitat for Humanity, the CEO in the greater Fresno area, right, Mr. Matthew Grundy. Councilmember Gallegos and I had an opportunity to talk to Mr. Grundy about some of the projects that we had going on, and it just, we started talking about everything else, and act of kindness kind of came up, and we thought that it would be a good idea to, have a larger conversation with council regarding that. And if you can kind of fill everybody in, council and everybody here, about that, the AOK program.
Sure. Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, President Medellin and Mayor Pro Tem Montez, and council staff and folks out here as well, community members, thank you. As mentioned, my name is Matthew Grundy. I'm the CEO at Habitat for Humanity Greater Fresno, which now encompasses serving and partnering with the families in Fresno and Madera County, and that's something we're so thankful for. A few months back, as you recall, I stood here before you, and we discussed in partnership with the successor agency what was reported by Bob Wilson, the forward progress on essentially securing and building five single-family affordable homes on Washington and Malone. Good news, we are making good progress. We have completed our phase ones. We are working on infrastructure. Right now, we finished our site planning, and are really excited about extending a wonderful invitation to everyone here in the coming months for our groundbreaking. So that's it's a community affair. Habitat's mission is to put God's love into action by bringing people together to build three things: homes, communities, and hope. And while we're excited about the partnership via the homes that we'll be building, there's still communities and hope to build. And that being said, Habitat's Neighborhood Revitalization Program, we have a myriad of options whereby we partner with residents, local, for nonprofit, public and private, to really go in and, as the invocation prayer was sent up, to partner with residents and empower them. And that's what Acts of Kindness is all about. Acts of Kindness is a program where it was birthed in the notion we just want to empower residents, tell them that they matter, that their properties matter, and that they are greatly valued. As such, we started this program where 2 days a week we would partner with local residents neighboring a project that we'd be building new homes, to simply knock doors and ask them, hey, can we mow your lawn today? Can we wipe your windows? Can we pick your weeds? Can we paint your fence? No strings attached, we just love you. And that program became one in which we found great success, particularly in remediating blight and partnering with local code enforcement to identify properties that are problems and partnering with the residents to fix their own home. Mm-hmm. That project was something that caught the eyes and ears, I suppose, of Councilmember Montes and Gallegos, and they said, hey, we would love to have that program here. And frankly, that was, if you recall a few months back in December when I stood before you, that was the original intent, is to not only build homes, but to partner with the neighbors in that immediate community and extend it beyond simply acts of kindness, but also work on some projects that would provide critical repairs for homes that are troubled. So all that being said, I was excited to come here today to sit with you and give a quick update, but to also share the hopes and dreams to provide some acts of kindness for residents here in Madera. Not sure if there's any particular questions.
I just wanted to add, it's a great way to leverage our resources, get the most bang for our buck, where sometimes if we're undertaking some of those projects, it's a little bit harder for us to stretch those dollars. It's also a good resource, like you said, for code enforcement, neighborhood preservation, where sometimes you go out and tell people, hey, you have to do this, and either they don't have the means, they don't have the ability, and this is a resource that we can say, okay, not only am I telling you you have to do this, but I'm also giving you a resource to get this accomplished rather than, here's your fine. And when you say code enforcement or neighborhood preservation, my ears kind of perk up because that's what I did and I do. So having those resources available, sometimes it makes all the difference. Because you can tell somebody you have to do this, you have to do that, and if they just can't do it, well, you're kind of beating your head against the wall. So offering those opportunities, that's what perked my interest and said, hey, this is something that we could definitely benefit from.
Absolutely. And one thing to mention on top of that, we typically partner with the city to identify projects that maybe are in target areas for you, where you say, hey, this is an area that we really have a need, and that's where we will go. And again, it's partnership, so it's not just us going in. It's working with local CBOs, businesses, et cetera. And to that end, we already have our first project date scheduled on May 11th. And that's going to be in partnership with Starbucks. All of the local Starbucks management said, hey, we want to be a part of the Acts of Kindness program. And so their staff are going to come out and participate. We also welcome just regular volunteers from the community to love the community. So we're working with Councilmember Gallegos to identify a good site for that May 11th date. But beyond that, we would like to identify a multitude of sites that we can then serve via Acts of Kindness. So
that's great, Matthew. Thank you for being here. It's always great to see you. And that's, in my opinion, that's exactly what Habitat does, is they provide hope. And we know you're going to do that here in the city of Madera. But I want to talk about the CDBG application you have. Now, is that something separate from the Acts of Kindness, or is that the same thing?
Yes, good question. So that's completely separate. The CDBG application is aimed at providing critical repairs,
right,
things like roofing, siding, et cetera. This is all minor beautification, so low cost, high impact work.
If you were funded through CDBG, it's going to be that capital project stuff,
yes,
not the flowers in the landscape, but the ramps for handicap and, yes, the rips and the windows and things like that.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
And really, we will, rather we receive funding or not from the city, we will commit to doing acts of kindness here in this community because they're part of who we are.
Yeah.
But it's just the sheer number of those projects that we can complete is limited by the capital that we have to complete them.
Sure. And there's, unfortunately, there's certainly a large need. Mm-hmm. We understand completely.
Sure.
Thank you very, very much for sharing that and for your patience in going through our fun and wonderful mid-year budget.
No problem.
Maybe that would give you a better understanding as to how we spend a few dollars here. Any other questions of Mr. Grundy regarding this particular item? We thank you for sharing. We look forward to the continued partnership, and we look forward to that date and continuing to work together and making a difference here in Madera. Matthew, thank you.
Thank you
much.
All.
So you will notify us on the 11th, what time and location and everything?
Yes, we will notify you on that. But more, and I think even beyond that, the groundbreaking for the five sites that we're working on, that will be the big deal because I think we'll all want to be there and participate and share in that celebration.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you. Bob, anything else to add?
No, unless somebody has some questions for me.
Any other questions on item 6A, the housing update?
I'd like to take you up on that tour.
All right, that'd be great.
Me too.
Uh-huh.
Awesome, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's just an update and discussion, so there's no action on that particular.
Correct. Uh-huh.
So at this point, I'll ask for any agency member reports. Councilman Robinson, anything to report?
Oh, yes. Tomorrow we have a general meeting for the league in Fresno. So if you would like to attend, then call Raj and make a reservation.
Fantastic. Thank you. Councilman Garcia?
Today is one of my favorite person's birthday. Dolores Huerta from the United Farm Workers, a mentor, a friend. Someone who did a lot of the heavy lifting along with Cesar Chavez. And I just wanted to acknowledge her birthday today. I wish her many more. She has an incredible amount of energy for a person of her age. But again, wonderful person. Happy birthday, Dolores Huerta. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Councilman Hawley.
Yes. First of all, I want to invite everyone to know that the World Financial Group is having an Evening Under the Stars event for Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Central California. The save the date is Friday, May the 10th, 2019, and it's going to be held at the San Joaquin Wine Company in Madera. Tickets on sale for $45, sponsor opportunity. And what this does is for every dollar that's raised, the San Joaquin will match it and give it to Big Brothers, Big Sisters. So we're out here trying to advocate to get this program to goals. Since we lost the funding from the Madera Unified School District, this team has came together and going around to different businesses and trying to get different sponsorships to help sponsor this program to get Big Brothers continue running again. Second of all, I'd like to thank everyone for yesterday who attended my awards ceremony. It was awesome. It was awesome. For those that made it on time, for those that came late, all the emails that I received, I just wanted to say gradually thank you all. I see a lot of faces in here that were there. You guys really made my heart with, you know, knowing that I am represented in this city, so I really appreciate all of you being there. Continue praying for my wife. Things are starting to really get worse, but I just, you know, something that we have to deal with, so asking that you continue to pray for her and myself. And other than that, that's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Councilman. We will.
Oh, one thing.
Yes.
Pray for this family. God, it is bothering me. A little girl, 13 years old, just passed away from an unseen, unheard of incident. And I'll try to explain a little bit. She started with pains in her leg and went from her legs to her hip. And from her hip, it caused, a blood clog in her heart. And within a week, she was gone. She's only 13 years old. She goes to MLK school. But she's my neighbor, and the family is devastated because they don't have answers to how something like this can happen to a 13-year-old girl. So I'm asking that we pray for the family, the Connie Alomar, and her, it was her granddaughter, but they're really going through it right now. So the services are Tuesday at New Harvest Baptist Church on Pine Street or Gill Street. So asking all of you just continue prayer for this family.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Mr. Councilman. Thank you for sharing that. Mayor Pro Tem Montes.
I just want to say thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you, Mr. Gurney, again, for bearing with us. And hopefully we have people continue to come and give us information and how we can, again, leverage our resources and get the community involved. I think that's really important that, you know, we're not just doing stuff for people, helping them do stuff for themselves as well. So, again, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody. And that's it.
Yeah, good point. Thank you. To Tim's point, Michael Segala, we had an affordable housing meeting today. We have still not heard on the $11 million grant application on our $24 million project. So we're all crossing our fingers and hoping that happens. But they're still working diligently to identify some other areas in the city that we could possibly build some affordable housing. So I want to thank Keith and Chris Boyle for being there this morning and answering some of those questions. And thanks again for the mid-year budget. It was really some good news and really turning the corner on some things. And glass is half full. So thank you, everybody who participated. Everybody's here. And with that, meeting adjourned.